God bless you all, dear brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read God's word before we commit service to the Lord. Colossians chapter 1. We read from verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the love. Thank you, Lord, for the word that is living inside every one of us right now. The living word of God that is working effectively inside all of us in our spirit right now. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives. You opened our eyes. You gave us a new heart that receives you, that always seeks you, that always longs for the fellowship with you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word, in your word, the word that works around us, in us, outside us, watching over all of us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for always watching over us, O Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you led the people of Israel in the wilderness by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you, Lord, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. Lord, we are guided by thy Holy Spirit in this narrow path, and we are holding the living word in our hands, in our hearts, in our minds, so that, Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight, O Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the blessed assurance that you are always with us and we are in you, O Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, our names are written in the heaven because of, O Lord, we have confessed that you are the only way, the truth and the life, and you are our Master, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are everything to us. You are the greatest reward of our life because, O Lord, we have inherited your name, the name above all names. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the name. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you are guiding us, strengthening us to grow day by day spiritually, to be stronger spiritually, to be wiser spiritually, to have the knowledge of knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spiritually, because we are the lively stones, a spiritual house, the holy priesthood built upon the solid foundation, the solid rock, our chief cornerstone, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, in whom our life is hidden, and we are the prisoners of Christ, the bond servants of Christ, and we are inside you, O Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Lord, we are gathering here in thy mighty name. Lord, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take complete control of our church, our congregation, that we are here as one body of Christ, and you are the head of this body, and you are the head of this church, the high priest. Lord, we spiritually surrender our everything. We are here to decrease ourselves, to increase yourself, to glorify thy mighty name. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, take complete control of myself, my words, the lips, everything, O Lord, every single second. O Lord, we are here to commune as friends in Christ to glorify thy mighty name. Lord, we thank you for everything. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. You may be all seated. Amen. We thank the Lord for everything. We thank the Lord for today. Today, when we get up, the Lord has reminded us that today is a gift from the Lord. And we live to the fullest. Then we go to rest and wait for another day, but we do not worry about tomorrow. Amen. Because the Lord wants all of us to live in present, and that present will become the past, and tomorrow's future will become present tomorrow. But the Lord wants us to be focused on today. Today is the day, because He wants us to be prepared all the time. He did not want us to be complacent because of our past. He did not want us to be frightened or shaken or panicking because of the future, but rather right now, at this very moment, He is with us and we are in Him. That's it. Amen. Because the knowledge of understanding eternity is much beyond our limited human capabilities. I thank the Lord that my father was a max teacher. He was also an assistant school principal, and his core expertise is mathematics. So I found passion for mathematics from him, the way he teach very simply to the school students. He usually conduct tuition from the morning and as well as in the evening. So it's like every day from 5 a.m. in the morning until 8 p.m. I spend time with him. In the tuition, then we go to school together, then come back, then again tuition, you know, in the evening. So since I'm very passionate about Max, even I don't sit in his classroom where people are much, much older than me, the second batch, like who are studying O-level, if I'm in primary, I will still don't sit, because I just want to see how he teaches mathematics. One of the most important concepts that we all know, that we don't know, is infinity, isn't it? But in the school examinations, they will ask you, what is the answer of 1 divided by 0? And they want us to answer infinity. But the true definition of infinity is something that doesn't have bound. There is no end. It is endless. It is boundless. There is no beginning. There is no end. And they do not know where it ends. So the true answer is, we all should write, I don't know. And you don't know. And we don't know. But actually, human mind does not accept failure. They want us to put some name to it, something more scientific, something more fashion, saying that, oh yes, it's infinity. It is boundless. There are lot of things that are unknown to our mind. Every time we see the ocean, whatever we know is nothing but not even a drop of the ocean. The greatness of the Lord is unsearchable, and the light that He dwells in, it is unapproachable. No one can see God. We can only feel the presence of God, and that is why the Bible in Old Testament, they represent the visible presence of God, the face of God. Bible records it as Abraham, Moses, they all saw God. They were talking to God face to face. It's the presence of the Lord. The angel in His presence with whom they were talking, as the Bible we read. So, infinity means infinite in time and space. That itself put all of us out of the equation, because we all have a beginning and an end in this earth. Not talking about God's kingdom, but in this worldly kingdom, we were all born and we will die. Some die and we will die in flesh. And by the grace of God, we learned from the words of life, the life that is hid in Christ. Amen. The true life, the life that God has created us in His image and likeness, the true life which has no death, it is hid in Christ Jesus. We need to go and dwell in Him to become the temple of the Lord, to take it. to receive it as we walk into eternity with Him. So now, if we all have a beginning and an end to complete our little, very little tiny journey on this earth, the term eternity, it is like hiding behind the word infinity, and where the people think, I'm going to space, I'm going to study the distance between Earth and Mars, we are going to measure the galaxy. It's curiosity, it's knowledge, the worldly knowledge and wisdom, it is keep on increasing to lose them too much confidence in that they can do everything. They can save the world from earthquake, they can stop all the natural disasters. The man feels that he has become the god of this world. And that is the path of destruction, the seventh church here that we are all witnessing. It has reached a very dangerous situation right now. People start living in digital life. I mean, they literally live inside social media. They get up every day to please someone. They get up every day to attract someone whom they do not know. And they want to live for something that is completely virtual, not real, but still they are ready to spend their entire lifetime for something that doesn't exist. This was not the case many thousand years ago. People had to see something physically, feel something physically to commit abomination, to fall into sin. But now, from the place where the youngsters, teenagers are walking in the train and the bus, they can commit sin on the way. They can do whatever the abomination, just, you know, on the way, as they just walk and just, you know, live their life. It has become more and more accessible to every corners of the earth. One person who wants to spread gospel, he has to break a lot of barriers in spirit and to be guided by the Lord to go and reach the souls and spread the truth. He has to fight all the principalities, and the Lord will guide him, and the angels of the Lord will protect him. There are so much things to be owned. But it also works in the same way where an evil person wants to spread something evil, he can still sit in his room, record a video and just upload, and it goes to every single corner of the earth. So the corruption has become more and more poisonous, more and more, you know, growing in a rapid speed. The youngsters, the new generation, are struggling to stand and struggling to react. They don't even know who they are. They don't even know what they are up to, because they have been thrown into a forest and the beasts of the wild are extremely high. And the lighthouse where they can find shelter to have fellowship with the Lord, with the Lord's saints. That's why the Bible says the harvest is plenty, but He is looking for people who can do His work. Amen. He's looking for people who can stand in the gap, because the Lord Himself says, harvest is plenty, but I'm looking for my fellow workers. I want people to work for me, not just to receive. The Bible says, it is blessed more to give than to receive. Amen. That particular verse is not just we are helping others and others are receiving help. We need to work for the Lord. That is the only thing that we can give back to the Lord spiritually in His eternity. Everything we do for the Lord, it cannot be bound by the time scale that we live into. A good example is, whatever Moses had gone through, it's been more than 6,000 years around there. But we are still learning from all the spiritual lessons from the life of Moses, from the life of Noah, from the life of Abraham, from the life of Isaac, Jacob, David. Apostle Paul has done things against all the odds because he was a bond servant of God, and he said, I am a prisoner of Christ. Amen. So when someone does something for the Lord spiritually, then that something comes beyond the flesh, releases itself from the bonds of finite and moves into eternity, because it has become part of God's work. Who lives in eternity, who sits, you know, in eternity, who has been watching over from His time. If we do His work, and that work will be the only meaningful achievement, accomplishment, reward, whatever we call it, in this little life that we live on this earth, everything else is considered dumb. Your qualification, your education, your skill, your knowledge, your strength, your friends, your whatever we possess, if it doesn't benefit the Lord, it is nothing but a dust. I always surprised by the way Lord lifted Joseph to a very high position next to the king, not just to say, look at my servant,
He trusted me. Look, I made him more prosperous. That is how the denominations preach. Joseph has become a sign of prosperous Christianity nowadays. But what they do not see is, Lord had to put Joseph in that place so that he can help his children of people to go through the famine so that the Lord's word shall come to pass. He raises someone to do his same work. He also bringeth down someone to do his same work. And there is no difference. It is all God's work. The way Moses was spending time 40 years of his life in the desert was not majorly spoken by any preaching or any, you know, God's people, because according to us, he was just spending time in the desert. Let's talk about what he did in the wilderness. Let's do not forget, I have heard people spoke bad about Moses just because he struck the rod, you know, instead of following God's command, right? He was frustrated by the children of Israel, isn't it? But he is not a man of impatience. The Lord himself says he is the humble servant in all this earth. You know, the Lord honored him when Miriam spoke bad against Moses. So when the Lord himself came down in the pillar of cloud and he said, he is my dear servant, I am pleased in him. He was honoring his servant. But the frustration of Moses, it is not thing to do with impatience. He was really weary. He was very angry with the way people are keep on rejecting the Lord. No matter how much the Lord has given to them, they were still stiff-necked people. They had this unbelief. It really brought a lot of pain, you know, and anger in his heart. And he did something that he was not supposed to do. When I read that verse, the Lord reminded me about his 40 years of exile in the desert. 40 years in palace, working for some king, doing something. Then he did something to come out of palace. Then he spent 40 years in the desert with, you know, Jethro to do something for his family. And he was also doing something, you know, like not actually God's work. But actually, God was preparing him in the valley for 40 years to be able to withstand what he is going to face, the massive task of handling stiff-necked people of Israel for the next 40 years. Still, he died before entering the promised land. You see how it is. 80 years of exile, 40 years of wilderness, but still he did not get to see the promised land. The Lord did not punish Moses. The Lord wants all of us to understand, he is your reward, not the one that you are going to get, not the place where you are going to reach. He is your reward. He is my reward. And he is with us. He is in us. What else we need? Nothing. That is why today is the day we are walking into promised land. Because his word is everything for us. Every day we commune as God's children, as the Lord's prisoner in his word, we have become chained in his words, so the world cannot come and release us. People always say, oh, break all the bondage, let's be free in the world. That is not Christianity. We need to be free in the world, not in a sense that do everything what they do. They are all bonded. They have bondage. We must be a prisoner in Christ so that we can't do things that are against his word. We cannot walk into a place that is not guided by the Holy Spirit. We are chained. We are bond. We have a bondage in Christ. That is why Paul says, I'm a bond servant of Christ. Not just faithful servant of Christ. Bond servant. I am bonded to him. My spirit is bound to his spirit. So now in Colossians, we just read how important it is to understand and appreciate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life for us to wash our sins in his blood. Today, I was preparing on some other topic last 5 days, but last 2 days, I thank the Lord, I received a different inspiration to speak on again the name of the Lord again. Because the name above all names is something the Lord wants us to understand. Because when Paul said, I am ready to be killed, he didn't say, for my Savior Jesus Christ. He said, I am ready to be killed for the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord. All the servants of God, they hold on to everything that Jesus is in his name. Amen. So now, let's read Revelation chapter 1 verse 20. I have taken the printouts, as I said last Sunday. It's all on the table.
you can take it, you know, after the service. And likewise, I would like to bring the importance of Revelation chapter 1, and we will ask the Lord for His grace to teach us why the chapter 1 in Revelation, the first chapter where the Lord reveals Himself to John in the island of Patmos, isn't it? The revelation of Jesus Christ is where the mystery of all things are unfolded to someone in the flesh, so that the Lord can pass the Lord can pass His knowledge and wisdom for the generations to come, especially the seven church ages, and we are in the last church age. Amen. So we will read this chapter 1 very prayerfully, with honor and reverence for the name of our Lord. I will read from verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. This verse 2 says, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see how important it is to live a life that the Lord can tell you that you bore the record of my word and you have the testimony of myself in your life. And this is something we cannot take it. We need to earn it. And that is the work of God that also helps us to be identified as His fellow workers in His word. Amen. And verse 3 we read, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This was written around in the period of 90 AD or 96 AD to be accurate. And he says the time is at hand. It is very near. Around 2000 years ago. The time is at hand. Very near. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you. Peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Seven spirits. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, and he washed all of us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. Now let's just stop here. Let's go before the Lord and read Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. I will read from verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity of the meek for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips
shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Amen. This is what we read in Isaiah chapter 11. And as we know, the prophetical books, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, all the prophetical books that speaks of what is about to happen in the New Testament, the fulfillment of the Lord's word, the manifestation of God's word. So all things are spoken before it happened. So now, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the chapter of Revelation was written by John, by the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. When I read this, who is Jesse? The father of David. But actually there was not big things mentioned about the father of Jesse. It was David. About David, we have so many things, you know, written, you know, in the Bible. All the way up to the very end of the Revelation chapter. I think in verse 22, we also have the last verse. It says, he is the root and the offspring of David. It's verse 20. Yes, he is the root and the offspring of David. Amen. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The Lord identifies himself as the root and the offspring of David to remind all of us he was in flesh. It is also to show that he is seated at the right hand of his Father, to whom he proclaimed all his honor, everything. He wants us to understand that the manifestation of God's word, the complete fullness of God, when it was revealed in Jesus himself in baptism, and when the Lord himself resurrected, only then he received the power and authority, dominion over everything. Amen. There is always a misunderstanding you might have seen from different brethren, different churches. They speak Jesus was God, or God himself was born as a baby. There were lot of misunderstanding of God's word, because if we understand the first chapter of Revelation in spirit, by the guidance of Holy Spirit, all things will be revealed, you know, in his light. As people, we cannot break God's word. We seek, and the Lord will look at our sincerity, our willingness, our obedience, how humble we are, then he will break the bread for us. Amen. That is why we start from the first chapter of Revelation, and we ask the Lord to guide us to go deeper and deeper. The more and more we understand and know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our walk with the Lord will become stronger and wiser in spirit. Amen. Now, let's all go to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. We will read from verse 20 to 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20 to 23. Yes. I read this. Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. And this is very important. For my name is in him. For my name is in him. When you read this, we should be remembered of the first commandment. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. How powerful it is. How much we need to show our honor and reverence with the fear of the Lord when we think and speak his name. It is extremely important. And that name, it says, is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. The two words that really strike my heart very strong was verse 22. It says, if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, let's pay attention very carefully, obey his voice and do all that I speak. There are his voice, but I speak. This is something very important for us. The Elohim, the eternal Holy Spirit. When the Lord says things in his spirit, when the Bible teaches us the spirit of the Lord rested upon his only begotten Son, the Son of the living God, when the word spoken, the Lord says, I speak. Because my fullness dwells in him, my Holy Spirit rested upon him. He is the complete manifestation of my word, the word which was God. The word was not Jesus. Amen. The word was God. We cannot twist God's word. We have to be very sincere so the Lord can teach us his mystery. It is not our mystery. It is God's mystery. 2 Timothy, we read the mystery of godliness. God manifested in flesh, justified in spirit. It is all in past tense. Because the word was spoken. Amen. Now, Exodus chapter 23, leading us back to Zechariah, one of the very important prophetical books, chapter 6. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 6. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, we will read from verse 9 to 13. Amen. Shall we read? Zechariah chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. I will read from 9. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobijah, and Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua the son of Josedek the high priest. And now let's read from verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord, and even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Amen. In Revelation chapter 1, when the Lord said, I am which is, which was, and which is to come. But Jesus Christ, he was born, growing in knowledge and wisdom, was baptized by John the Baptist, and the Spirit of the Lord descended unto him. Then the Lord said, behold, my beloved Son, in him my fullness dwells in him. And from here, I would like us to remember this word, my name is in him, in Exodus 23. Amen. And in Revelation chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 11, and we studied Zechariah 6, the branch. Let's understand one important aspect between Abraham and Isaac. Amen. Because there is something very beautiful, very subtle, and very, I would say, few happened between Abraham and Isaac when they went to the mountain to fulfill what the Lord has commanded Abraham. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22 so that we understand the spirit of the sonship of God was in the word.
when it manifested in Christ, amen, the spirit of sonship. Genesis chapter 22, let's read this. And here we will only focus on the words that was spoken by the son to the father, by Isaac to his father Abraham. Genesis chapter 22. I will read from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. This is wonderful to see the Lord always calls the name, wait for the response before he starts the conversation. Always. He always called Adam. He always called Abraham, Samuel, Moses. Then he speaks. He wants us to acknowledge that we are able to listen to him. That is a sign that we are walking with him. Or we cannot listen to his voice. Most of the time it is a soft, still spoken voice. To see that we are willing to listen to him. Amen. When he said Abraham, Abraham says, Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Which I will tell thee of. I will tell you one of the mountains. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. When he saw the place, until then the two men were with him. When he saw the place, when he saw that this is the destination I'm going to, direction has been seen, then he sent the young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. We will go yonder and worship. He calls the offer of sacrifice as a worship to those who are supposed to wait for him to come back. We are going, we will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Then they went both of them together. There are only few words Isaac spoke to his father, and those few words are extremely important for us to study over and over again to understand why Isaac is very important and why he inherited all of those which he didn't suffer much, like Abraham. Let's read this. Isaac spake unto him his father and said, My father. He didn't say anything else. Let's read this very carefully. He said, My father. And Abraham said, Here I am, my son. This is how this chapter started. When the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham said, Here I am, Lord. And Isaac said, My father. And Abraham says, Here I am, my son. That's all. They didn't speak anything about how far the distance is, what they're going to do. They didn't speak any such things. There was a command given to Abraham. Abraham did not disclose to his son because it was not meant to be. It was also a test for Isaac whether he obeys and honors his father the same way we all ought to obey our father. Isaac only said, My father. Abraham said, Here I am, my beloved son. Now let's continue. He asked the second question because he honored his father. The first one, he gets the attention from his father, My father. He waits. The father responds, Here I am, beloved son, I'm listening to you. It is like a confirmation for him to go on. He is asking. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? It is a genuine question. As a son, he is asking his father because he did not know that he is the lamb. He did not know. Then in his spirit, Abraham says to his son, My son, God will provide himself a lamb
for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. This is where we have to understand the relationship, the fatherhood of Abraham, the sonship of Isaac. They went, both of them together, to fulfill what was supposed to be done. This is the only two sentences exchanged between them. Isaac says, "My father." Abraham says, "Here I am, my beloved son." Isaac asks, wood is here, fire is there, and also the knife is also in his hand. But where is the lamb for burnt offering? Then Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. That's all. We know what happened after that. But I just want us to soak ourselves, our mind, our heart, our spirit in the exchanges between Isaac and Abraham. Amen. It is so beautiful to understand what happened on that day when the Lord stopped Abraham, don't sacrifice, find a ram to sacrifice. And then if we remember the relationship of Abraham and Isaac, is extremely important for us to understand before we understand when the Lord says, my only begotten son, my only begotten son, the first and last, the Alpha and Omega, when the Lord Elohim reveals himself in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This sonship in the Word of God, we have to understand Abraham and Isaac very clearly in spirit, so that we understand why the sacrifice was stopped by the Lord and was fulfilled in the New Testament, as we all know what happened in Calvary. Now with this, let's remember, in Revelation chapter 1, we studied until the first few verses. Now let's continue what the Lord speaks to John. We will continue from verse 7. We have read until verse 6. Verse 6 says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now we read from verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Now the Lord himself speak this word before John was witnessing, when he said, which is, which was, and which is to come, in verse 3. Amen. Now the Lord himself says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. When we talk about Almighty, we tell ourselves the word Almighty is the way, the only way we can tell the Lord is Almighty. He cannot be anything smaller than that or bigger than that. He is the Almighty. He is the Almighty. The Spirit of the Lord, when it rested upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he said, my fullness dwells in him. And now when the Lord speaks, we read in Exodus 23, God himself speak. You obey his voice, God himself speak. It is I who speak, the Elohim, the Eternal Holy Spirit, who speak, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. So we read, he always is, because he always was, and he always will be. Amen. In all his authority, we know that when the Lord resurrected, he received the power and authority over all the dominion. Amen. In the seven spirits that we read from the verse 1, if you remember, there are lot of sevens mentioned in the chapter of Revelation. Seven spirits, seven stars in the right hand, seven seals, seven golden candlesticks, seven horns and seven eyes of the lamb, seven thunders with a mighty angel, seven trumpets before the rapture of bride, and seven vials of God's wrath. And in the seven church ages, we know that the seven messengers sent by the Lord in every single church age to soak us, you know, in God's word, to prepare us, the bride, to get ready for the Lord's coming. Amen. We will read the next few verses, then we ask the Lord to speak to us the reconciliation of ourselves back to Him. Amen. Verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. I want us to focus very carefully from verse 13, how the Lord was described in the chapter of Revelation, first chapter. How the Lord described when He was seen in this vision. He says, His head and His hair were white like wool, and white as snow, and His eyes were as the flame of fire. The flame of fire, the blazing eyes. And His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and His voice as the sound of many waters. His voice as the sound of many waters. And He had in His right hand seven stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He set His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. We stop here. And have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Last Sunday we studied in 1 John chapter 1. The blood of Christ, it takes care of the original sin. It washes us to be purified, to receive Him, to be in Him. Amen. So when the Lord sacrificed Himself as a lamb, His blood washed all of us, so that we would be cleaned, created in Him as a new creation. Amen. In Parousia, we just read about the presence of the Lord, the angel of His presence. Parousia, when we read, is the presence of the Lord, the represents the coming of Christ, not to take us home. And in the Revelation chapter, first chapter, when the Lord says, He cometh in the clouds, every eye shall see Him. It is not in sequence, as we know. It doesn't represent the rapture, because rapture is a secret happening. It is an invisible union of the bridegroom and the bride. It's the Lord, when the Lord comes back to with His saints, you know, to fight the battle, that we know that He cometh with the clouds, that every eye shall see Him. And this is after they have supped of the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. So the name above all names, the name of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, When the Lord says, my name is in him, Yahweh, Yahshua, means Yahweh is salvation. Now, let's read John chapter 20, verse 27. John chapter 20, verse 27. John chapter 20, verse 17. I read, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. We will read this again. Touch me not, and I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. Amen. Then in Isaiah, when the prophecy was given, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, the son is born and he is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Presence of the Lord. And when the prophecy was given, it talks about the birth of Jesus, when the body was prepared for what is about to be fulfilled. And when God's word was completely manifested in Christ, and when the Lord says, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Amen. I would like to bring this particular verse that we just read to Hebrew chapter 13 and verse 8. Hebrew chapter 13, verse 8. In Hebrew chapter 13, verse 8, we read, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. In Revelation 1, which is, which was, and which is to come. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ, it teaches us how the Word of God was manifested in him, and how the Word of God, which we read, the Word was God, fulfilled in his own time according to his perfect will. And when it is there, let's remember this, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 to 11. Let's read this, it just comes to my heart. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 to 11. When we talk about Redeemer, Savior, let's always remember this verse. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 to 11. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Let's remember this verse. Besides me there is no Savior. Besides me there is no Savior. For the God's word to be fully manifested in Jesus Christ, we remember this verse, besides me there is no Savior, and we call our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, because God himself manifested in Jesus Christ when during the baptism when the Holy Spirit descended unto him. This verse, it is something that we always hold on to, that I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior, and the name of Him is in Him. The name above all names that we hold on to, the name above all names that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, the Lord says, my name is in Him. That is why when we sing the song, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. The Lord Himself said that in John chapter 5 verse 43. Let's read this. John chapter 5 verse 43. John chapter 5 verse 43. We read, when Jesus said this, I will read from verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Verse 43, I am come in my Father's name. Amen. I am come in my Father's name. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Because what Moses wrote was also written by the inspiration of the Spirit. Amen. You see how the Lord honors his servants back and forth from Old Testament to New Testament. He uses a name to remind all of us that he came in flesh. When the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, when he died, when he resurrected, when he ascended unto the Father, when he said, I'm going to my Father, your Father. I'm going to my God, your God. He always wants to identify himself seated at the right hand of the Father, although all the power and authority over dominion has given to him. He is the fullness of God, but he identifies himself as the Son of God. As always, the only begotten Son of God, the Son of the living God. Last Sunday, we studied the names of Jesus Christ in New Testament. But in Old Testament, all the names of Jesus Christ was in terms of prophecies. Messiah, branch, root and offspring of David, Emmanuel. And all the prophecies are fulfilled when he was born. But the name Jesus, when he was born, was nothing but a name given to the baby, the body which was prepared. But the baptism, when the Holy Spirit descended unto him, that is where the word was expressed. That is where the Lord said, I am pleased in my Son, I am dwelling, all my fullness dwells in him. He is my only beloved Son. The revelation of Jesus Christ, when the vision says, the Lord, the hair and head was white as snow, and the sword, the double-edged sword, which cuts us into life and death, judges people, separates his people, bring the light to protect his children. God's word is a double-edged sword. Amen. And when I read this, I was thinking, in the chapter of Revelation 1, when the Bible says he was the only begotten Son of God who arose from the dead, resurrected from the dead, and he holds the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Now let's read 2 Peter chapter 3 to understand this verse even more clearer. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 22. Verse 18 to 22 I read, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Let's read this very sincerely, because the Lord is teaching us that he might bring us to God. When the Lord Jesus said in John, I am ascending unto my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Here he says, he suffered once for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, the reconciliation, being put to death in the flesh. Being put to death in the flesh, only because he resurrected, he has given the authority to judge the nations. There is only one who can judge. And he is the judge. He is also called the judge. Because he is also called the advocate. He also intercesses for us. He is also the high priest. He plays all the roles to reconcile all of us back to him, back to his father. And that is why he hath unto kings and priests, unto the God, as a saint, we have to understand there is a purpose in the Lord's birth, baptism, death, descending into Sheol, resurrection, and that purpose is still going on as we are all fighting against the corruption in the seventh church age, as we read in the beginning. If we all sit back and do not do the work of God, then we are not betting our life in eternity. We are not working with the Lord. The Lord says, you are all my fellow workers. I am building something, built together with me. Not something physical, spiritual. We are the holy priesthood and we are the spiritual house built upon the foundation of God. Amen. And when we read this, but quickened by the Spirit. If the Lord quickened all of us by His Spirit, so that we might be washed in our sins by His blood, we will be a new creation. Don't we feel that the Lord wants us to do something for Him because He quickened us in His Spirit to give us His life? And that life is not the life that we live here. That life, the life that was hid in Christ, has been given to us because He quickened us. He is the last Adam, the quickening Spirit, we read last Sunday. Now, let's continue. By which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison. This verse 19, I could not understand when I was in Catholic. I was 11 years old. I remember asking my parents, the priest, where I was the altar boy, why the Lord died and went down and preached unto the spirits in prison. Do you see that He can't stop working? He's always working. Every single moment, every single second that we can think about this little, finite, tiny timeline of our life, but God is always working, He is always interceding, He is always as a being advocate to show the grace and mercy in our life. It was something to be fulfilled. He descended down and He preached unto the spirits of prison, and we read, which sometime were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Let's not forget the fact that the wife of Noah was not pure. So when the Lord shut the doors of the ark, there was still the original sin inside, locked inside, and it still survived the flood. And it continued to pollute the earth again because the word was to be fulfilled. And verse 21, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by the water, verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism that also now savors, not to the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. The answer of a good conscience toward God. Conscience always reminds us about the battle that we have in our mind, our understanding, because this understanding is the one that pollutes your heart. God has given us a good heart. When we were all born as a child, the child heart is pure, innocent, not polluted, not corrupted, no lust, no sin. That is where the Lord said, convert to become the children. He wants us to point back to the heart of the children, which is pure. Because they can't understand our language, they can't process what we speak, the brain is shut, the ears are shut. From this world, the heart is pure as the purest form of creation, but as they grow, they become like us. The more and more they listen to the noise of the world, they tend to create own understanding, and that understanding commits abominations against God. So, be like children is a reminder for us. We should remember the song that David sang, create in me a new heart, O Lord, a clean heart, a pure heart. When Saul finished talking to Samuel, when he returned, the Bible says God gave him a new heart. I meditate a lot on some verses where the Lord says, God hardened the hearts of men. God shut the eyes. God shut the ears of people. Do you think the Lord wants us to push people to the path of destruction? Do you think, you know, the Lord wants us to, you know, like punish them, to, you know, to go and suffer in the everlasting fire and not to be destroyed once for all? No. The beautiful explanation of this: if you have a candle in your room, and let's say you have a paper or a plastic, if you keep it at a safer distance, that paper or plastic will be there intact. But if you move closer and closer, go and touch the fire, touch the flame, the plastic will melt and the paper will burn. Now if you say the candle burnt the paper, the candle melted the plastic, figuratively it is true, because that is what the candle is. It has a fire, it has a flame. But it was the paper or the plastic which moved beyond the safe zone to go and do something and became burnt or melted. Now this can be taken as a bad example. Let's go to the example of life. There is another candle which was in the darkness, and you show light, and this candle has been searching for light everywhere, seeking for light, because it knows that there is a death. No, it is dead in transgression and sins. So when this candle which has no light, no flame, it sees the flame, it also goes near to the flame, but it knows, it has the knowledge and wisdom of God, because it is seeking. Instead of go and melt itself, it only touch the flame with the tip where it can take the flame. And once it takes the flame, the candle has its own flame. It can go on and walk until it melts and dies. Now in these two examples, we can say this candle, the source of light, the lighthouse, gave its light to another candle which was in darkness. Then you say, oh Lord, we praise you, we worship you. Then I say, the same candle, it burnt the papers and the plastic and it disappeared into ashes. No, the candle is there, the righteousness of God, it is there, right away for who He is, the Almighty. He is holy, in Him there is no darkness. He is who He is. Then the people, our carnal mind, do something against the Lord. The more and more you do something, go near to Him with some darkness, the thoughts, the pollution, corruption in our mind will create a consequence in our life, because it is not just the Lord hardened your heart to kill you or destroy you. It is your own very self, it is your own very flesh that made the presence of the Lord to harden your heart, because you didn't go there in willingness and obedience, but you went there in loftiness and pride. So now the question is, when the Lord gave Saul a new heart, that means the Lord touched the heart of Saul to receive what Samuel had spoken as inspired by the Lord. I have seen people who used to argue with us, you know, even in our lives, talking about free will. The word has been spoken, everything is done, all the names are called, everything is done, we just come and praise and worship, do what we can, just go on, because everything is done. No, the understanding of free will is extremely important before we understand about our God, the sacrifice of the Lamb, the resurrection of Christ, and the relationship between Abraham and Isaac, and the willingness and obedience between the father and the sonship, the respect and honor. Let's keep this in our mind, our hearts. When the Lord told Samuel, he regretted that he made Saul king. Remember? Let's go. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's read this. I think we read these few paragraphs. I think it's very important for us to understand the expression of God is something very important for us to take and heed to what He speaks. When the Lord destroyed the earth, when He saved Noah in the ark, the Bible says the Lord felt sorrow that He had to destroy the people, right? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's read from verse 32. No, I think let's read from verse 26, sorry. Let's read from verse 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. This is the very important statement when Samuel spoke to Saul. Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. As simple as that. You reject the word of the Lord, you come near to me, you become the paper and piece of plastic, you will do something harmful to yourself. It is not God who destroys you. It is your lack of understanding, your disobedience that brings the wrath on yourself. Because Lord, He is who He is. And we continue. I want us to appreciate the love Samuel had for Saul. That is very important. The same way Abraham loved his son Isaac, Saul was not the son of Samuel. But still, Samuel was the mighty prophet the Lord used to anoint Saul to be the king of Israel. Amen? So Samuel had a lot of expectations, you know, from Saul, the king of Saul. And when he saw Saul fell in front of his eyes, Samuel couldn't take it. You know, he was broken in his spirit. And let's continue. When Samuel turned about to go away, this is very important. Saul laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and it rent. I believe in New King James Version, Brother Ingpan, can you read the New King James Version? It's torn. 27. Yes, 27.
And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it torn.
Yes. The edge of his robe and it's torn. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. When I read the verse, when Samuel said this day, but it's not like, you know, it was done on the very same day. The word was spoken this day, it shall come to pass. No one can stop it. Amen. And that word was spoken because of the action Saul committed when he torn the robe of Samuel. It's not just a reaction of emotion, but it is an accumulated reaction of what Saul was going through as a backslider king who rejected the word of the Lord. But Saul knows, I mean, this is very, very deep. The emotions of Saul, it brings us into tears if you read this spiritually. Saul really wants to get back. Saul really wants to, you know, break that yoke that is upon him to be free. He's really trying. You see how he speaks to the Samuel. He says, and also, when Samuel says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. This is very important. Let's remember this. For he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Saul says, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before of Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. He couldn't even say the Lord our God. Because he rejected the word of the Lord, even the out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaker, when Saul said, let's go and worship thy Lord. When Jesus said in John, I am ascending unto my Father, your Father, my God, your God. That is the God who is in all in all. Amen. But when Saul says, since he rejected the word of the Lord, Samuel says, the Lord rejected you. When he said that, the word was spoken. That's it. He said, today, when he turned the rock, Samuel says, your kingdom will be rented to someone. The Lord said it. When Saul heard this, he was scared. Something is going to happen. What if the words of this prophet shall be fulfilled? He was scared about himself. He was scared about the kingdom. Because the words he spoke, he says, before the elders of my people. Before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me. I want everybody to see that you are turning again with me. Why? Why he wants to please the people of Israel, these elders, when Samuel is speaking something more deeper, more spiritually, to trying to tear down the veil that is hiding Saul's eye, but Saul went and teared down the robe of Samuel. Actually, Samuel was there relentlessly having this steadfast hope that Saul can repent, Saul can change, but Saul was showing some signs of changes, But still, the yoke on him, it overcome him. He said, everybody is watching me, come with me now, that I may worship the God. He didn't even say, let's go and worship the Lord. There was no assurance, there was no confidence, there was no standing firm on the foundation of God. He was not on the foundation of God when he said that. That is why he is asking Samuel, help me, let's go and worship thy God. When he said that, Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. That was the last time Samuel spent time with Saul, or be with him, or listen to him, one very last time, because Saul asked him. But Saul knows in his heart, on that very day, Saul spiritually disconnected himself from the Lord, and as a prophet, his heart was burdened, and that is why I was so blessed when the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. We all read God's kingdom is transparent kingdom, let's love each other in deed and truth. But come on, when you read the Bible, the Lord was telling everything to his servant. He didn't hold back anything. He was telling everything. I am still, whenever I read the verse, when the Lord Savior Jesus said, his disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death, I cry. I could not process with my little brain, why my Lord of Lords, King of Kings, my Savior, the name above all names, who has the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him, the fullness of God dwells in him, he comes and tells those three people in the flesh, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. His emotions, the pain that he wants to share with his friends in Christ, the fellowship, he says, I will live a life the way I speak. Whatever the word I spoke, you can go back and read from my life. You can go and see from my life. You can read the words and receive the word from my life. And the beauty is, he only ministered for 3 years. Until 30, the life of Jesus is like a mystery. It was not explained very much. There are only very few verses which comes to my mind. Let's read when the Lord said he increased in knowledge and wisdom. Luke chapter 2, let's read this. Before we talk about, study about, ask the Lord to teach us more and more about Godhead, we have to understand certain things. Without the fear of the Lord, there is no beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And the Lord said it, that's it. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge and wisdom. If we really want to begin to understand the Lord more and more, we need to have the fear of the Lord. That is why in Isaiah chapter 11, the New King James says, he delights in the fear of the Lord. How can you delight in fear? Yes, you can. The New King James Version, the translation, I like it. In King James Version, it is a bit different, but it says, he delights in the fear of the Lord. Who? The Lord Savior Jesus Christ himself, when he was called as the rod from the root of Jesse, he delights in the fear of the Lord, and we read, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we read, God gives his knowledge, his wisdom, to those who look good in his sight. And we also know, I shall not walk by sight, but by faith. I walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So the sight of God, it looks into the deepest desire, the true intentions of our heart, to examine our heart, how faithful are you to him. When you say, Lord, I am faithful, if there is no fear of the Lord, that faithful is holding on to something that you enjoy in this life right now today. Your health, your perfect family cycle, everything that we have in this earth, which we call it as blessing from the Lord. But when the Lord told Joshua, do not turn your left to right, just keep the commandments of my servant Moses given to you, you shall be prosperous. Is that prosperous representing the worldly prosperous? No. The promised land is something way beyond all these things that we possess right now. It is nothing compared to what we are going to receive. Amen. And when we read this in Isaiah, and when in Luke chapter 2 verse 52, if we read this again, we can understand the manifestation of God's word, the complete manifestation of God in Jesus, Yahweh, Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation, the fullness of God dwells in him. Luke chapter 22 verse 52 says, And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is very important for us if we really want to understand why Jesus told his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." This is very important. Because Lord was suffering as a man in his flesh, yet he said, "According to your will, let thy will be done." When he said that, everything has been said. That's it. And after that, whatever happened is nothing but a fulfillment. But in Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord overcame his flesh, when he went and told his disciples, when he said, I remembered James chapter 5, 16, when the Lord said, "Gather together, confess your trespasses, share your weaknesses, share your pain, and pray together and heal together." And what is this healing? Healing from our physical illness, what does it matter? Because we are going to die anyway. Spiritual sicknesses are more dangerous than your physical pain. This is nothing. This is absolutely nothing. It can come back again. Spiritual healing of us praying together is something extremely important for us to appreciate the fellowship with one another. God has put us into one family because we cannot survive this battle alone. We cannot say, "God is with me, I am not alone." God is in the midst of his people. We are together as one body of Christ. That is why we are not alone. Not because where we stay, where we pray, where I work, where I do. No. We are one body of Christ. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. And that is why we are one. We are not alone. Amen. So in this, when the Lord said, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man, from the birth of Jesus until he reached 30 years of age, when he was baptized in the river of Jordan, 30 years of the life of Jesus is nothing but a mystery, not explained much. And he was a carpenter working with his adopted father, and even the role of being a carpenter, it also a spiritual learning to all of us, that I was thinking, if we are all planted as a tree in the garden, let's say we were all dead, a carpenter can take the tree, cut it, make something beautiful and put it in the master's house to be put into use. He can make us into a vessel, but actually we were dead in the world. We are the trees, but God can give his life and make us and give us the glorious celestial body that we all will receive from him, and he'll put us back into his father, where he will bring us back to him. So the definition of the spirit of the sonship of God was in the world, was manifested when the Lord word was fulfilled. Now we will understand the name of God was in him. The name above all names is something that we ask the Lord to teach us, that every time we remember his name, all these things that we learn will come and should remind us. Let's go to this and read, so that we will understand why the Lord wants us to worship him in spirit, praise him in spirit, speak his gospel in spirit, receive the gospel also in spirit. Let's read this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 to 32. When I read that verse, my heart was filled with the fear of the Lord. Then I remembered Isaiah chapter 11. He delights in the fear of the Lord. Because your heart is filled with the fear of the Lord, you can delight. Not everybody can receive it. The Lord is giving us because of his grace. Let's read this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 to 32. Let me read this from 25, so that we have the full context. Because we cannot take single verse to justify all our understanding. Whenever we take a single verse from the Lord, let's remember, the whole Bible is called the Word of God. The Word of God, not the words of God. There is no plural in this. There is a unified spirit in everything that God does. It is the Word of God. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not revelations. It is not the words. It is the Word. God hides behind in the letters, the foundation of teaching. We always remember this. And I pray to the Lord that the Lord give us the knowledge and wisdom to speak gospel to one another who do not understand the Godhead, we have to go on our knees to ask the Lord for His grace and mercy and the opportunity to speak to them at the right time with sincerity, love, humbleness, obedience, humility. Only then God can speak His word through you to Him, because the Bible says, His voice I speak. We need to reach that state. We speak, but it was His voice. It's our voice, but He speaks. We have to abide in His word so that when we go in sincerity, when we humble ourselves, Lord, You reveal this to me, but my brother, my friend, my uncle, my son, my grandfather, whatever the person whom Your word is burdened, Lord, please reveal the same truth to them, and I'm going to pray to You until You give me the opportunity so that I may take the flame that is put in me. I go and strike the flame in my loved one. I go and evangelize, not the way I do, but You teach me. Because explaining Godhead is impossible if we are not in Holy Spirit. It may go other way around. We have to be extremely careful. Why? Read this now. Chapter 12, verse 31 to 32, we read from 25. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. And how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, and except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Now, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Amen. He that not gathereth with me scattereth abroad. 31-32, let's read with fear and trembling and honor and reverence. Amen. Wherefore I say unto you, let's read this together. Amen. Let's all read together. Let's open our mouth, read it together. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good, his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 31-32, can teach us things, spiritual blessings, in a more excellent way if we go and seek the Lord in our knees. Lord, teach me, I want to learn more and more about you. Not to increase my knowledge, but to walk closer and closer with you, to be inside you. The first two verses when I read, Jesus says, if you speak anything against me, Son of Man, because he is also the Son of Man, to come in flesh, to suffer for our sins, to sanctify us, to die for us, to have all the by his wounds, by his stripes, we are all healed. He says, if you speak anything against Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. Now you understand why he is called as a high priest, the intercessor, and why he is also called as a judge. But he will wait until the day when he will take the role of a judge. He would like to choose grace and mercy until he go to that position. But when he goes, let's remember what the Lord said in Exodus. Beware of him. Do not provoke him when he comes as a judge. But the Lord says, until then, that is why in the Revelation chapter it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you be with you all. Amen. Grace has a time limit. Let us do not sleep complacent because we are walking in his grace. When that grace is over, when the Lord comes as a judge, he will have to judge us with his rod. And the Bible tells us, Do not speak anything against Holy Ghost. Link us back to the first commandment in Old Testament. The first commandment, do not speak the Lord's name in vain. Do not speak about God's name. That is why when I showed the Lord's name, I only spoke the first three. The rest, I just explained the beauty of His name. We honor, we show the reverence. We speak with respect. We speak with a reason. Now, in this world, do you see the name of Jesus has been used as a mockery? I am pretty sure you all have seen in your office, the movies, news channels, whatever you see, the name of Jesus is mocked. Because the Lord says, I will forgive when you repent, when you break your heart, when you come and seek me sincerely, when the broken heart, I will close the contrite heart, I will forgive, but beware, do not speak against the Holy Ghost. Jesus Himself said that, Luke chapter 22, verse 31, 32, should be etched in our mind, our heart, our lips, our everything. Do not speak against the Holy Ghost, because you are bypassing the mediator. You are bypassing the advocate. You are bypassing the high priest. You are actually forcing the judge to bring back your action that was done in secret. Let us do not do that. Now, the fear of the Lord, if we still remember, oh, the Lord is going to burn me with fire, like in the days of Lot, the fire from heaven came and destroyed the whole Sodom and Gomorrah. The sons of Aaron, they were burned to death in the altar. The sons of Eli, they were burned to death. Korah and his people, they were, the land opened, they all went inside. Yes, we can find the wrath of God in different types. Fire, flood, everything, even the land. That should not give us the fear of the Lord. Amen. We should never ever fear the Lord because of His punishments to people who commit sin. Because of His wrath against people who rebel against His children. That is He, the Father Himself, doing His job, protecting His children. We should not fear Him for that. We should fear Him because of you understand who He is. Because you receive His love. Because He showed us His revelation to you. You should have the fear of the Lord. So let's remember, I want all of us to take Aaron as an example in our hearts. When Aaron made the golden calf, the Lord came down, He punished everyone. Amen? Did Aaron was punished? Did the Lord punish Aaron? No. Was there a reason given? No. When Aaron and Miriam spoke bad against Moses, the Lord came down and told Miriam, 7 days you will be a leper, put her outside the camp. Actually, it was Moses was pleading to save her. Moses went and intercede for Miriam. Although Miriam spoke bad against Moses, it is fine because Moses can go and tell the Lord, she is my sister, I am going to shield her, forgive her. I will take the blame, it is fine. She scolded me, she killed me, it's fine. Lord, I forgive her. Please do not put your wrath onto her, she can't stand. Lord said, okay, fine, 7 days, go outside the camp, then come back. But Aaron, I was like, Aaron is standing next to Miriam. Lord, say something to him. He didn't say anything. Nothing was spoken against Aaron. Aaron was not punished in these two things that was committed in the Bible. Why? I want all of us to remember, there are things that the Lord will do for His grace, His mercy, His relationship with one to one, that He has no reason to tell you why. He has no reason to explain all His action. If He explains, that is something for us to learn. If He doesn't explain, you believe the fear of the Lord. He is righteous. He knows what is good. He is good. He can't do things wrong. It was the right thing to do. You believe. And that Aaron might be someone sitting next to you. Might be someone sitting outside the church. Might be anyone. We are here to hold on to love and peace because the God who lives in us is living in His word. We are here to be the person. To be the person, that's the right word, to be the person who stands in the gap between the eternal Holy Spirit, Elohim, and the people of this world who are carnal in sin, so that we go and intercede for them the same way our high priest, our mediator, our King of Kings, our Lord is doing it. Now you ask me, my Savior is doing the same job, why should I do it? What Jesus said, you are identified by the works of me. If you want to follow me, do the same works that I do. We don't have to be a preacher or apostle or a mighty servant of God to do what God is doing. God has already given everything here. Live a life according to His word to be worthy of His calling. Everything else shall come follow automatically. He will bring people to you. He will bring the candle that is in darkness to you. He will come and take the flame from you. He will bring the paper to you. You will burn the paper. But not you. The flame that burns the paper. But who brings the paper? Not you. It is God. Correction. Rebuking. Comfort. Compassion. All the spirits of God. He said, there is only one spirit of God. Yes. But the Lord revealed Himself in different spirits, in different church age, from the seven spirits that are before Him, as read in Revelation chapter. Let's remember, the word of God is the word of God, one. There is only one begotten Son of God, and that is our Lord Savior Jesus Christ Himself. He was not God. He was not the Word. The Word manifested in Him at the right time, because He said, I am the beginning and the end. He said, there is a time stamp to Him. But the Lord said, I am who I am. There was no other one else, and there shall be no one be. And He also says, I am the only Savior. But who is Jesus? Jesus says, I come in my Father's name. God's name is in Him. God's fullness is in Him. Then only we can say, He is my Savior. He is my Lord and Savior. Only then our baptism says, okay, your journey begins. But still, let's not forget, there are millions of people are getting baptized in the name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. But not all will walk into eternity. Baptism is not a seal. It is a door. That seal, that is the way. Walk. The walk is the seal. Any day your walk can stop. Any day I can die. Any day you can die. Or any day God can come when we are still alive. And we are here to prepare others to be blameless. To be preserving of the spirit and soul and body. Because God knows the biggest test that has been put into all of us is our body itself. The Eden of Garden is not somewhere else. It is your body itself that is being tested every single day. The evil is common deceiving you. Hey, do you know this? Let's do this. He will always pray with the truth. He don't say anything new. Because he is no evil. He cannot give truth. He can always only play with the truth. So, I just want to finish this by reading the last few verses of Revelation chapter 1. Let's go and read. We shall continue the next week by the grace of Lord. Revelation chapter 1. Now we read from verse 19. We stop at 18, where the Lord said, I have the keys of hell and of death. Then we went into 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18-19, where this is descended, what is the purpose. Now we come back here, verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. It represents the seven church ages. Now we are in the seventh church age, not in sixth or fifth. Seventh. We are very near to the end. When Jesus said, time is at hand, He said it in 96 AD, but now we are in 2023. And how close we are, how near we are. So let's remember this and 12.
Yes.
Let's read one important verse before I go and pray. Colossians chapter 1 we started. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 verse 19 to 22. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19 to 22. Sonan, can you read it for me? I'll drink water. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19 to 22.
For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled.
Amen.
In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight.
Amen. The reconciliation of all of us back to the Father. I shall read
this and let's go into the prayer. Verse number 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Remember this. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It is the word of reconciliation. It is the ministry of reconciliation. So if we want to do God's work, let's be part of in that. Let's be part of in the word of reconciliation. And the Lord says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Amen. Amen. The Bible says, "We are ambassadors for Christ." Don't hold back. Don't hesitate. But be obedient. Be humble. The Lord will bring the light to you if we say, "Lord, here I am." Isaac told his father, "Lord, my father." The father said, "My beloved son, here I am." Abraham, when the Lord called Abraham, Abraham said, "Here I am." Here I am is the only thing that the Lord wants to hear from you. Everything else he will come and tell you, "Hey, how are you?" He will tell you, but he wants us to say, "Here I am." Nothing more, nothing less. Amen. The last verse, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." This is very painful to read. If you read sincerely, you will cry. "He hath made him to be sin for us." To be sin for us. That is why when the Lord in the cross said, "Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me?" Forsaken for you and me. "And who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We might be made the righteousness of God in him. There is no other way for us other than knowing Jesus in spirit, walking with him in spirit, because the Elohim, the eternal Holy Spirit, dwells in him. He is a complete manifestation of God's word. We will study more to understand more and more about how powerful and how mighty the name of our Lord, the name above all names. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, our great God of heaven, for God is love, the Father of mercies, God of compassion, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Israel, the Lord who keeps Israel neither sleep nor slumbers. Thank you, Lord, for watching over all of us. Thank you, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit is breaking the breads of life for all of us, the doctrines from thy servants of God, the true doctrine, the truth, the revelation of Jesus Christ himself, and the foundation of God on which are we all standing here right now. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are spiritually building us as a temple of the Lord, the lively stones who receive the life from the life, who receive the life from the chief cornerstone, who receive the life from the lively stone. Thank you, Lord, for quickening all our spirits to walk into thy word, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for revealing yourselves, for manifesting yourselves in thy word. Lord, we thank you, you reveal the word to us. Lord, here we are all, Lord. We are standing here, gathering in thy mighty name, to receive you more, to walk with you humbly, to know you more, to walk with you humbly, to understand thy great works more, so that, Lord, we can listen to your soft, still-spoken voice in silence. Help us to be humble, help us to be kind, guide us to be obedient, and Lord, teach us to preach the gospel of peace, where our feet shodded and prepared to preach the gospel of peace, not in our way, not in our mind, but Lord, to be completely guided by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray in the mighty name the name above all names, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the blessed, who will become us in the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, we surrender our congregation as one body of Christ. We humble ourselves. You be the high priest, the intermediator, the intercessor, the head of the body, the head of the church. You are the master, the anchor of our hope. You are everything, O Lord. We surrender ourselves. Lord, guide us and teach us to understand the greatness of your name more and more as we continue to study your word. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, we pray all the words of life that we studied prayerfully, sincerely, we are asking, Lord, speak to us throughout the week in different experiences through different people. Speak to us, O Lord, so that, Lord, we will continue to walk in thy word. We thank you for everything. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you all.